The JMU journalism team bring you the Liverpool Life podcast.
Hello and welcome to the first Liverpool Life podcast of this academic year. I'm Nathan Archer and I have a roundup of all the week's news, sport and what's been going on across the city. On this week's programme, the raids on shops selling e-cigarettes and sweet-like packaging, a mummified discovery at the World Museum of Liverpool, and the Irish Festival comes to the city. But first, on Tuesday, an extraordinary council meeting was held at Wallasey Town Hall to discuss a highly critical Ofsted report into Wirral's children's services. The report highlights a lack of planning, management and communication within the department attributed towards the failures. Conservative Geoff Green opened the debate.
The Labour Party should hang their heads in shame and never forget that at the end of each admin process that's gone wrong, at the end of each call that's gone unanswered, or in each case that's been miscategorised, there are children and you have failed them because of your inability to provide that political leadership required. And no amount of spin, bluff or bluster can get away with that, from that fact. You have sat too long, you should now go. And I ask the council to support this resolution tonight.
Well, our reporter Rebecca Cleverley was at that meeting and she's with me now in the studio. Rebecca, we heard a little bit there, but what was the atmosphere like at that meeting?
Well, it was a very tense atmosphere during the meeting. I'd say it was both personal, political, it was passionate. The leader of the Conservative, Geoff Green, was saying that Tony Smith should resign from his post. And essentially they were saying that we shouldn't be relying on the people who got us in this mess to get us out of it. Tony Smith, on the other hand, is saying that he won't resign, and he was blaming the central government, which is obviously Conservative, so therefore they haven't been able to do much planning and they haven't been able to budget things properly, and therefore this is where this Ofsted report has come from.
Councillor Geoff Green, who leads the Conservatives in Wirral Council, said that that these failings were something which Labour had taken away all scrutiny. Labour wasn't being responsible for its mistakes.
Yes, I think he did say at one point that no one had actually apologised for the report. They were just doing everything they could to sort of justify it. No one had actually apologised. And obviously, it's the children that it's affecting. It's the children and the families of Wirral.
So was this a political argument against the Labour Party on behalf of the Conservatives and the other opposite, the Liberal Democrats, were also criticising Councillor Tony Smith? Or was it something which can be improved? What's going to happen now?
Well, I think it definitely can be improved. Tony Smith is not going to be resigning. In fact, he said that he's got an extra £2 million of funding, which he can then use to obviously help with this report and bring the standards back up to something that we can be proud of.
Rebecca, thank you very much.
This is the Liverpool Life podcast. For all the latest news, sport and features anytime, click on to the JMU Journalism multimedia website, jmu-journalism.org.uk. Bookmarkers and come back often.
Yes, you can find out all the latest news from JMU Journalism on our website. Now, raids have been taking place in Kirby, Huyton and Prescott on e-cigarettes in packaging that looks like it contains sweets. It's feared that children will make the mistake and eat them, as our reporter Tom Begbie has been finding out.
Knowsley Council's trading standards officers have seized hundreds of e-liquid brands from distributors, fearing the packets may attract children into buying them. The products have been sold in packaging, which makes them look like sweets, which, under UK law, is an offence to supply products which can be easily confused with food. Shira Arrowsmith, a spokesperson from Knowsley Council, told us of how they were intending to prevent the need for such actions from happening again.
Our trading standards officers do these spot check inspections on a sort of daily basis, going round, having a look what's on sale and see whether it, if there's anything to be concerned about. And then if there are items that that they think are a cause for concern, as in this case, they will test them, take them away, send them to whichever organisation will do the necessary testing, and then if there are concerns, then they will remove them from sale. So I guess it's just kind of ongoing vigilance, really, because obviously the legislation that needs to comply with is set on a national level, so it's just a case of policing the sort of, you know, the national guidelines, really.
Residents in Wirral have just 2 days left to vote on how they want the council to spend its money. Around £50,000 is available for community projects in the area. And our reporter, Nuamin Yadita, she's been looking at this for us. Nuamin, what is the purpose of this voting?
Nathan, the purpose of the vote is to enable them to make a decision on the allocation of £50,000 of funding for projects that will make a difference in the local community.
So where did this money come from?
The money comes from Wirral West Constituency Committee, which has already funded nearly 230 local projects in the last 3 years. They have also a small grant up to £250, which will be available to the groups and the residents to pay for things like furniture, hire decorations, food and drink, and promotional materials.
What projects are being supported by the scheme?
The Wirral West Community Fund supports projects in Arway Park, parts of Barston, Caldy, Frankby, Grisby, Holyoke, Irby, Melos, Newton, Overchurch, Pensby, Tingwall, Thurston, Upton, West Kirby and Woodchurch.
No, Amen. Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, along with this radio podcast, we also have our online and a print version of our newspaper, which has just come out this week. You can collect it from the Redmond's building free of charge. That's on Branlow Hill here in the City of Liverpool, or, of course, read it on our website. It includes a variety of stories this week, including a story about Egbert Station having its own book swap scheme, which started this week. New investment being brought into Chinatown. It also includes some great features such as a former student, Josh Parry, who now works for something called the Liverpool Echo, and a Kristen Murphy, one of our journalists on the print department, talking about how he worked as an au pair over the summer in Germany. Also in the newspaper is a story that we covered on Tuesday, that the charity Stop the Traffic came to Liverpool city centre to push their campaign to stop modern day slavery. The charity have been up and down the country to spread the word of the worldwide problem. From the charity, Anne-Marie Donoghue.
Estimate there's between 10 and 13,000 people in modern-day slavery in this country today. It could be anything from sexual exploitation to slave labour to, you know, keeping people in the house. There's that many different kinds and types. There's actually eight that we promote. The idea is that we're trying to get into communities and saying to people, you know, be vigilant about your neighbours, have a look what's happening. You know, we're hearing these stories all the time.
This is the Liverpool Live podcast. For the latest updates anytime, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism.
And if you follow us on Tuesdays, you get a live feed from our newsroom of the breaking stories that have been covering in our JMU Journalism Newsday, Liverpool Life Newsday. So follow that on Tuesdays. Now, what's on in Liverpool, I hear you ask? Liverpool's Irish Festival came to enrich the city this week, and there's still more to come. Following the debut of the short comedy film What the Focal on Thursday, a packed programme has been planned for the weekend, as Cara Hunter explains.
So what can we expect from the Irish Festival over the next coming days? Sunday will be a fun-packed day. At 2:30 to 3:30 on Sunday, there will be a ceilidh, which is a form of Irish traditional dance, at the Blue Coat in Liverpool city centre. And at the Treasure House Theatre, three plays will be live, Riders to the Sea, The Shadow of the Glen and Purgatory, which will be performed from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m, with plays being performed in rotation. They are free and no booking is required. That's all from me. Have fun, folks.
Oh, thanks, Cara. And if you're in the city this weekend, there's something else you can check out. Liverpool's World Museum has opened its doors to a new mummy exhibition this week, although researchers have revealed some quite shocking secrets underneath their wrappings. Sarah Williams has more details.
World Museum of Liverpool has unveiled a new exhibit. However, their research has provided some strange discoveries. A variety of animal mummies, including crocodiles, cats and birds, have set up home in the museum's Ancient Egypt exhibition, which explores how the Egyptians mummified their animals as offerings to the gods. Although not all the bones inside the wrappings match the animal depicted on the outside. Ashley Cook, curator of Egyptology at National Museums Liverpool, said the x-rays revealed a surprising find.
So some mummies, we know, are typically the style that a cat was wrapped in or a crocodile, but when they've been x-rayed, we discover that maybe there's not that animal in there or they're not a complete animal. So in the exhibition, people can see that there's something that looks like a crocodile, but the x-rays reveal it's four crocodile heads. So I don't know what happened to the rest of the crocodiles, but there's four heads and they have been CT scanned and 3D printed.
The museum has been scanning artefacts since the 1990s, resulting in the largest collection of animal mummies in the north of England. Mr. Cook said he was particularly excited about a piece with a mysterious past, borrowed from the University of Liverpool.
They have this cat mummy in a human coffin, and for a long, long time it was always assumed it was a human burial, but x-rays some time ago by the university revealed it's actually a cat in there. So that's one of the many interesting aspects of this subject, is that looks can be deceiving and we don't know what happened. Did something go on in the embalming tent? Did a crocodile sneak in and steal the actual human body and then so they replace it with a cat? Or was it just a muddle up in more recent times, in Victorian times?
The exhibition runs from now until February next year.
Sarah Williams there talking about a new exhibition at Liverpool's World Museum. Now let's have a quick look at sport. A community club, City of Liverpool, also known as AFC Liverpool, will be playing Bootle this weekend in the first round proper of the FA Vars. The team, which has formed out of a love of the sport, is commonly known as the Purple Bins, based on a slightly local quirk. There's of course also more sports coverage in our Liverpool Life newspaper, including an interview with Councillor Richard Kemp from the Liberal Democrat leader of the for Liverpool, saying he has fears over £70 million being given to pitches, 3G artificial football pitches. And don't forget to check out Everyman's critically acclaimed production of Shakespeare's The Two Gentlemen of Verona. Directed by the Everyman's artistic director, Nick Bagnall, the production's actually going on tour later this year and returning to Merseyside this time next year. But why wait until then, when you can catch it on Hope Street until Saturday the 29th. That's all for this week's Liverpool Life podcast. It was produced by Rebecca Cleverly and the news editor was Kieran Simpson. I'm Nathan Archer. Aaron Lau will be with you next week from all the team here in Liverpool. Goodbye.
That was the Liverpool Live podcast, brought to you by the JMU Journalism broadcast team at Liverpool John Moores University. More next week.